Shalom, everyone. This is Shlomo Katz. You're listening to The Soul of Israel on the landofisrael.com network, on the landofisrael.com. Good morning, my sweet brothers, Rabbi Ari Abramowitz, Rabbi Jeremy Gimpel.
Shalom, shalom.
It's a new year.
It's a new year.
Everything is new. Does it feel new? Honest. Not to put you on the spot.
It feels totally new.
New.
Totally new.
Not fully for me.
No, it's like a process. It's definitely something new. It'll feel totally new once I'm in my sukkah. That'll
True.
Be totally
True.
New.
True.
Right, but it's a new year.
That's very interesting you say that. Rabbi Shlomo Karbach used to say, how do you know if you were forgiven? It's kind of what we were talking about in this morning's class.
By how good your etrog looks.
He said, no. When you walk into the sukkah and you're surrounded by it, do you feel Hashem hugging you saying, it worked? You know, all the tears that you're doing, that we're doing now, the 10 days of repentance and Yom Kippur, do you feel that hug? I could tell you guys, I need to just reach out to everyone that's listening to us right now. And even though we might be thousands of miles away, I think a way that we could feel that hug when we walk into the sukkah, at the risk of sounding very cheesy, is if we hold on to each other a bit tighter and be very involved in giving a lot more hugs than we usually did. I think that's a beautiful way of aser simei tshuva.
I appreciate you saying that, because I've always been a huggy sort of guy. And when I was with the government and I was traveling to the Far East, I would just always hug people because I assumed that people at their core just like being hugged and like hugging. Mm-hmm. After that time, I'm not sure that that's the case, but I continued hugging. But certain Chinese people and like Japanese,
not so much their thing.
They're not huggers, but I would hug them and I felt their discomfort. You know?
Right.
But if I could just ask you a question, if you don't mind.
Please.
Like, I am finding that I'm struggling intensely this Aseret Yemei Tshuva.
With anything specific?
Yes. I had such high aspirations. I was so excited for this Aseret Yemei Tshuva, and I was really going to go, and I have fallen so short
of your own,
of my own
disappointed expectations.
Yes.
Does that make any sense, to be depressed over disappointed expectations?
It makes perfect sense.
Why?
Who
made them?
Okay, I made them.
Okay. Is it about you or about Hashem? This is your daily Musar, friends.
Okay.
is life about your aspirations or about... Meaning you're disappointed.
Well, I had these aspirations. It wasn't for me. It was for my relationship with Hashem. It was things I wanted to do to work on myself for Hashem. And I feel like I've let Hashem down. I feel like I've let myself down. I'm holding on to the hope that there's... I'm just going to wear it on my sleeve. I was really hoping for today. Today would be a big Aseret Yemei Tshuva day. Anyways, I'm letting down. I feel like I'm letting myself down. And I'm not living up to the expectations I had for myself.
I think this is an amazing opportunity. What you bring up right now is an amazing opportunity. Dear friend of mine that I've mentioned his name on the show many times, his name is David Sachs from Los Angeles. You both know him. I think you interviewed him once.
We sure did.
Right? You interviewed
Voice
him.
Did of
you
Israel.
Ever spend time with him? Just an amazing person. And he likes to call the 10 days of Tshuva the days of wet cement. It's the days of wet cement. Right? You know, when you're kids and you... Someone came and, you know, you built something in the house, whatever, and you...
A sidewalk outside.
Yeah, the sidewalks on the, you know, not so much.
When you say kids, if I see wet cement now, I'm going to write Ari and Jeremy.
That's the kid in you. Right. So it's the wet cement of the new year, and the Shaila is, the question is, what kind of a relationship with Hashem am I engraving into the wet cement? This is an opportunity to change a little bit of the way that you envision your relationship with Hashem. Could it be, Ari? Maybe. Maybe it can't. Just would love to know what you think. Could it be that perhaps Hashem says, I need you to relate to me differently this year. I need you to serve me from a different place this year. There needs to be hitchadshut in the way that you serve me this year. In other words, in the past, you had many of these expectations, which dictated to you how you would feel about yourself. If you lived up to it, you'd feel good, thinking that that's what Hashem wants of you. And if you didn't, you feel bad. Do you really think, like Mamash, in a real way, do you think Hashem would want from you to think like this about yourself smack in the beginning of the year?
You're so right. No, that's what you're saying is just resonating as true, that I'm relating to Hashem. I mean, we were just learning now. Everything that happens, right, is from Hashem. So I had very sincere aspirations for greatness or what I perceived as, and maybe Hashem is saying, I'm going to cause you to fail in those that perception of greatness because I want a different relationship now.
And that, yeah, it's a very beautiful way to start off the year saying, it's more important for me to be open to listening to what you want from me, Hashem, as opposed to stick to the old ways of what I think.
Which is what I want from me.
Exactly.
What you want from me rather than what I want from me. And what does he want from me?
To listen, to be open, to not self-persecute yourself. That's not the way to start the year. There's no way.
I can't thank you enough for that.
I'm honest, from the bottom of my heart, that can't be the way to which to greet the new year. It can't be. And what's the raya? They say, like, when you learn in what's the proof is that no one has ever come close to Hashem by letting them sulk in the sorrow of their own disappointed expectation. Hashem is so big. He's so much bigger than any expectation we have. It's just a much bigger thing. So I think you're doing a big chesed. I think you're doing a big, big gesture of kindness to all our listeners. But why? Because you're not the only one that falls into this trap. We all do. All the time. All the time. And Reb Shlomo Karbach had a beautiful teaching about Korach. You see, Korach, he wanted to be the Holy of Holies. What he wanted was great stuff. He wanted to serve God on the highest and holiest level. But Reb Shlomo quoted Reb Tzvi Hirsch of Zidichov, one of the Hasidishim Rebbes. Yeah, I think his name was Reb Tzvi Hirsch of Zidichov. And the Zidichover said, Hashem was telling Korach, Korach, it's beautiful that this is what you want, but are you open to the fact that I might need you, or not need you, I want you to serve me in a different way? In a different level? Being open to that is much greater than any personal aspiration that you might have about what you think, where you think you should be.
That's just a life-changing truth.
I guess we're done with the show, and we're done with the season, and we're done with life.
Well, I want to share one thought that I had, actually, when I was sitting on your mirpeset, on your porch, overlooking the beautiful view there into Judea, into what the world would call the West Bank. And I was seeing the first time tshuva is mentioned in the Torah is actually talking about a tshuva, a return to the land of Israel. And here, where we are and where you live, it's the furthest most outpoint, the furthest pioneering area of Jewish settlement into Judea. This, like, we are on the front lines, very literally, of this massive macro tshuva movement of the Jewish return to the land of Israel. So there's also a tshuva movement that's also just beyond our own personal growth and development and our own relationship with Hashem. There's like a universal reality, a global reality of humanity and redemption that no matter how bad you and I get, at least we're a part of the tshuva movement of the Jewish return to the land of Israel. I mean, imagine all of the settlers that are in Judea, all of these people that are now settling the land of Israel, that are returning to the land of Israel, that are returning to the Hebrew language, that are returning to Torah Eretz Yisrael, the Torah that we held on to it in the exile, but now it's like coming back to life again, the way it was meant to be. So all of us are really a part of a much larger tshuva movement, and in that there's a lot of comfort.
And on a personal level, I think what you're saying is almost the geographic manifestation of what Rav Shlomo is saying, that there's being pushed out of our normal way of being and way of experiencing things, and Hashem is doing something new with us. I don't know what you said. Rav Shlomo has really alleviated a lot of pressure for me already, almost immediately. Well,
but you answered in the beginning, because when I said in the beginning, does everything feel new? Jeremy said yes, and you had a hard time saying yes because you were still stuck on what you think needs to be the way.
Yeah.
Right?
And I'm used to that feeling.
We're not, God forbid, talking about a different way of Torah. Chas v'shalom, we have our way of Torah. We're talking about listening to a new way of hearing Hashem telling us, this is what I would want.
Recognizing that our relationship with Hashem is dynamic.
Days of wet cement.
Yeah.
Okay, well, now that we're in spiritual therapy, Arya's head hit thing, I want to bring my question to you, Shlomo. Here's the question. It's constantly this time of year is dealing with all of our nefilas, all of our downfalls, all of our mistakes, all the things we want to do better. And, you know, we were just learning this morning together here in Shirat David and Efrat, Torahs from the Piasetzner Rebbe, who is like giving Torahs over in the darkest time of Jewish history, where he's like, listen, Hashem, you want us to believe in you. We want us to fear you. I can't do anything right now. Nazis are like killing us. What are we going to do? And so I'm thinking like, wow, to learn that Torah now in Eretz Yisrael is so mind-blowing to see where we were just a generation ago and where we are now. But that's almost like a macro vision of our own personal lives, of all these struggles and downfalls and mistakes and hardships that we go through. And I know that Rabbi Nachman teaches and Chazal say that, you know, every Yerida is Letzorech Aliyah. Every down is only there as a springboard for the next rise. But I really have like a Tana on Hashem. Like I have like a problem here. Why does it have to be so hard? Why does there need to be this going down and this whole like fixing process? Like yes, Hashem made the world that there's going to be a down before the up. I got it. But that's not so fun for me. That's really hard. That's really challenging. That's like really like hard. Like it's, I just look at everyone that I know, everyone, when you scratch underneath the surface, everyone is struggling hard. What is the deal? Meaning, what is this Yerida Letzorech Aliyah, this whole process of like we've like going to the depths and then coming up again? I just like want maybe insight and just to give me chizik on like what is all of this process about?
Meshekoyach, that's such an honest question that everyone has as well, I think. But most people are too ashamed to admit that that's where they're holding. You know, someone else asked your question. He asked it a little bit differently. That was Moshe Rabbeinu. Lama Hashem yichare apcha be'amecha? Asher otzeta me'eretz Yitzrayim bekoach gadol uviyad chazaka. Lama yomru Mitzrayim lemor bera'a hotziya Hashem larog otam barim ulchaltam epnei adama? Why are you making it so hard? But Moshe Rabbeinu asked the question, and while he was asking it, he was asking it about Hashem. He wasn't asking about why it's hard for me. He was saying basically like this. If you are with me, Hashem, and when something's hard for me, it's hard for you, why are you doing this to yourself? That's how he asks the question. We normally ask the question, maybe that's exactly how you were saying it. I don't know. But usually we ask the question saying, what, you know, about me.
Why does it have to be so hard for us?
But if I believe that you, there's a shtickel elokut, we say, like this piece of God within me, the question really is more, I care so much about you, Hashem, your name. Please don't do this to you. And I think that when it's asked from that place, Hashem says, well, you're getting it. And now I could remove the hester a bit more. I could remove the concealment a bit more. And, you know, right now, it's true. There's such focus on the individual's path and nefilot, their fallings and everything. But if we can find a place within the individual path of tshuva to think of it in a much greater concept of saying, Ribono Shleilam, if my shortcomings are causing more of a concealment of your big name in the world, Lama, then why? Then can you please find another way to enlighten yourself upon me, if part of you will be more revealed in the world, if I get my act together more and more, meaning you keep the focus on Hashem and not about the me, the I, the ego. I think that's the gateway to everything. But I think that it's a great thing to be thinking about during this time of Aseret Yemei Teshuva and to have enough guts to ask it, like you did, but to sharpen the manner in which you ask the question.
So if we are aspects of Hashem in the world, so then our struggles, it's truly Lehistra, he is down here with us, revealing himself in this process.
Or not revealing himself in this process due to whatever I'm going through. Yeah. That's why there's a story of a Chassidish Rebbe. I heard it a few weeks ago from Rabbi Riskin about the Kloisenberger Rebbe, but I saw it somewhere else many years ago by the Rizhner Rebbe. Rabbi Yisrael of Rizhin was being schlepped to jail, to prison. The Tsar, the Russian Tsar, imprisoned him for whatever the reason was. And the Hasidim heard the Rizhner Rebbe repeat the pasuk, famous pasuk from Tehillim, Gam ki elech begeitz al maves, lo ira, ra ki ataimadi. That's how he would say the pasuk. Weird, right? Usually we say, Gam kirach begetz al maves, even though I walk through the valley shadowed by death, I will not fear evil. Why? Ki atah imadi. He said, I will not fear, comma, but it's ra, it's bad, ki atah imadi, because you're with me. and I'm schlepping you into jail. You hear that? You hear the difference over there.
He's saying, I don't mind personally right. going through darkness.
Lo ira.
But Hashem, for you, I don't want to. That's real love.
When we kvetch to Hashem about our pain, because it's essentially about Him, mina meitza karati ya anani b'merchavya. Then the answer comes so much faster, and the narrowness of life suddenly opens up to a merchav. But as long as it's mainly about me, then what is it? What am I bringing to the world? What am I revealing to the world? And our whole lives is really this game of getting out of the ego. We usually think ego is not boasting. That's the work on the ego. I shouldn't boast. I should be humble. But the inner, the penimious way of dealing with the ego and doing tshuva on the ego is that when I complain about something, am I really complaining about Hashem's lack of kedusha and kavod? Or is it more about mine? Wow. Sons, you're asking tremendous questions this morning.
Yeah, this is Papa's proud.
I
have to say, it's both my question and Jeremy's. The questions and the answers I've found to be tremendously therapeutic.
Look, Dear Shu Hashem Behimatz'o. This is what the 10 days of tshuva is. When you call out for real, you'll get the answers because this is where Hashem is. It's found more. Behimatz'o. The 10 days of tshuva are the days where you go the extra step. You get a bit more vulnerable to ask the things you wouldn't normally ask because now there's this access that isn't normally there for us during the year. So Ashreichem. Ashreichem. Bless me to also ask and to also be in the place of knowing how to do, you know, what it is it was available for us to do in these 10 days so that we can finally come to Yom Kippur and be in that chamber of oneness. And then reach the peak of Yom Kippur, which is called Ne'ilah, which doesn't mean that the gates are being locked. So get in your last prayers. It means the gates are being locked. Why don't you finally decide to join Hashem in there and lock yourself up with Hashem forever for the rest of the year?
Beautiful.
I bless us to have enough guts to go there from a place of love, hugs, simcha, and excitement towards living a life of such a relationship with Hashem.
Amen.
Amen.
Do 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 do